إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. We'll continue inshallah ta'ala where we left off with the shortened version of Sifatul Sawm al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Salim al-Hilal and Ali Hassan al-Halabi حفظهما الله, or the shortened version of fasting the month of Ramadan as observed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we come to the chapter, Allah only wants ease for you and He doesn't want any difficulty for you. And under this chapter we have the issue of traveling and fasting in the month of Ramadan, and the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayat 185 of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفْرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this ayat, He says, and whoever amongst you is sick or on a journey, then to make up like number of days, Allah only wants ease for you and He doesn't want any difficulty for you. This ayah shows that the person who is sick and breaks his fast, and the person who is traveling breaks his fast, makes up those days and other days and other days of the month, of the year, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only wants ease for His servants and He doesn't want any difficulty for His servants. I will add in like of this, as many people love that this point be mentioned, that the people who are in debt, that those money, those people who are the collectors of this money, that they be considerate as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been considerate to His creation. Meaning when it's time to pay up and a brother say, I didn't have the ability, for whatever reason, that we try to make it easier on that person as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy on us. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Because just like we hold somebody accountable, and I was just thinking of yesterday, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, whether it was with a bat or a pistol whip or whatever, to let them know you're going to pay up the money, like it or not, can or can't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have been just as merciless with us to just prescribe fasting for us. And if you're sick, then you just get punished. You should have ate better during the year so you wouldn't be sick in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have did that. Make all of your travels during the year and not in the month of Ramadan. Because if you do and you break your fast, then you'll be punished. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was merciful to us, alhamdulillah. And we should be merciful to each other. The issue, or there's many questions that comes up around this issue of traveling and fasting, or breaking your fast and traveling in the month of Ramadan. And we'll take a look at some of the hadith that the Shaykh brings, and then we'll see that they're the answers to the questions that usually come up, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll add a little to it if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. The first hadith is the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami, that he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَصُومُ فِي السَّفَرِ وَكَانَ كَثِيرَ الصِّيَامِ فَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ سُمْ إِنْ شِئْتَ وَأَفْطِرْ إِنْ شِئْتَ. Now this hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami radiallahu anhu, he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I fast while I'm traveling? Because he used to do a lot of fasting. So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said to him, if you like, fast, and if you like, break your fast. And this is for the question that comes up, the first question in general, can I break my fast, or can I fast if I'm traveling? Or do I have to break my fast if I'm traveling, or something like that? We see that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ answered for the general question, can I fast while I'm traveling? If you like, fast, and if you like, break your fast. The next hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, قال سافرت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في رمضان فلم يعد الصائم على المفطر ولا المفطر على الصائم. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله. وأنس radiallahu anhu, he said that I traveled with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in Ramadan, and he didn't blame those who fasted over top of those who broke their fast, nor did he blame those who broke their fast over top of those who fast. And the Messenger of Allah said, everybody, whichever way you want to do it, is okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then the Shaykh, he brings a statement of, in these two hadith, both of them show that if you like to fast, fast, and if you don't like, don't fast. And you see, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam didn't blame anyone over the next person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then the Shaykh, he wants to deal with another question that comes up, and we see the answer to this in the hadith of Ahmed and Ibn Hibban, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَى رُخَصَهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَن يُؤْتَى مَعْصِيَتَهُ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ, let me add this to the narration, كَمَا يُحِبُّ أَن تُؤْتَى عَزَائِمُهُ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed Allah loves that you take advantage of his licenses, I think that's how they translated, as he hates that you commit sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that you take advantage of what Allah has given you the permission or made permissible for you to take advantage of, that he loves that you take advantage of what he gives you the ability or allows you or gives you the permission or the license to take advantage of, then Allah loves that you take advantage of it. Just as he hates you to commit sins. And then in the other narration it says, as he loves that you do what is compulsory. So here the Messenger of Allah is trying to explain some principles to the believers, and that is, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a way out, makes it easy for you, then Allah loves that you take advantage of it. And we could give the example that we keep mentioning, where the Messenger of Allah says, صَلِّ قَائِمًا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَقَاعِدًا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَى جَنْبٍ. And the authentic hadith where the Messenger of Allah says, I command you to make salah standing, and if you're not able, sitting, and if you're not able, on your side. Okay, if you're not able, sit down. Don't kill yourself by standing up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that you take advantage of what he's given you the permission to take advantage of. And here the Shaykh is using that to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that we see that it might be better to break the fast. This is what the Shaykh is trying to hint at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Okay, if it's okay if we fast, and if we like, we can break our fast. Okay, which one is better to do? And it seems like the Shaykh is leaning at that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he wants to make it easy for you. Okay, why you don't want it to be easy for yourself? If Allah wants to make it easy for you, why you don't want it to be easy for yourself? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he's made it easy for you, that's a mercy in itself. But on top of making it easy for you, he loves that you take advantage of what he has made easy for you in this deen. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the Shaykh is trying to add there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that it's better to break your fast if you're sick or if you're traveling. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Because we're people, what do you call that? In America, people have come from everywhere. And fortunately or unfortunately, we've heard everything amongst the differencing of an opinion amongst the Muslims. In this class, we wanted to be brief and kind of get to the point, inshallah ta'ala, and we don't have time to look at every side and everybody's proofs and what have you. But we're aware, and this will just be for the sake of mentioning, that some people might say that, no, it's better to fast. Just as the Shaykh is trying to show that it's better not to fast, some other people might say it's better to fast and on. And we come to the difference of an opinion. We just want to keep this in mind, that Allah says in Surah Zumar, وَبَشِّرْ عِبَادَ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. And give glad tidings to my slaves, to my servants, those who listen to what is being said and follow the best of it. So on some of these issues of differencing, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best who is correct on it. I always to quote the hadith of al-Bukhari al-Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam says, اقرأوا القرآن ما اتلفت عليه قلوبكم وإذا اختلفتم فقوموا. Read the Quran so long as you agree that every ayat has a particular meaning to it, and if you differ, then disperse. Meaning, if you think that ayat has different meanings. I said it means this. He says it means that. Well, he knows better than him. He says it means that. When the Muslims differ over a particular text, giving it various meaning, then the Messenger of Allah والسلام, said disperse. Meaning, let everybody have what he sees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Don't let it lead to hatred and enmity and division of the Muslims because someone sees the ayah to be different from the next person. Even though we make this statement, we don't want to open the door up to the deviance that we witness all the time, that everybody has the ability to bring any meaning that he wants to the ayah. But should be said is the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, which many of the ulama say that when the Salaf al-Salih have given the different meanings to the ayah, that the latter generations have no option except to follow one of the positions of our Salaf al-Salih. For example, that Sahabi said, and we can take on some of the ayat of Surah Al-Najm in the Quran, the star, where it talks about the Messenger of Allah والسلام, and him seeing Jibreel. And the ayat that some people say, he saw Allah. And the other people say, no, he saw Jibreel. Alright, you have some of the Sahaba said he saw Allah, other of the Sahaba said he saw Jibreel. Okay, the Muslims afterwards, what position are we going to take? One of those two positions that the people who came before us took. Because Islam was already practiced, already understood, and complete, walhamdulillah. And the finest generations had already come, and we dealt with this point just the last class, I think it was, that if there was some good, they would have beat us to the good. So if they came out with, it could mean this, or it could mean that, or it could mean that, when we come afterwards, we're going to say the same thing about the ayah. It could mean this, or it could mean that, it could mean that, and I'm with this opinion, he might be with that one, and he might be with that one. Not that someone can come and make up his own opinion. Really what that ayat meant was, Sheikh so-and-so, who the Messenger of Allah ﷺ saw, that he would come down 1400 years from now, and that's why you should be following Imam so-and-so, or Sheikh so-and-so, or whatever, as the deviant people used to say that they can take any understanding of the Quran, and all of the understandings must be tolerated. No, we're going to tolerate the differencing amongst the Muslims that had took place in the early generations. And if someone listens and he decides to lean to that side as opposed to that side or whatever, over a particular text, inshallah we're going to be overlooking. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. I don't know if this point is clear. Sometimes it seems to be a little confusing. It's clear, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I hope that just as it's clear to us in understanding, it's clear to us in practice. Because sometimes the Muslims, they fighting over ayat. As we saw during the time of the Messenger of Allah والسلام, where the man was reciting Surah Al-Furqan from the Quran. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu had learned Surah Al-Furqan from the Prophet ﷺ and said, wait a minute, sound a little different to me. I ain't learning like that from the Prophet ﷺ. Snatched him by his beard, dragged him to the Messenger of Allah والسلام. Read it now. Ya Rasulullah, listen. Brother reading his own, making up his own thing, saying you said it. And I learned the sword from you, and he making up this thing, lying, saying he got it from you. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet ﷺ said, read it. Afterwards, the Prophet ﷺ said, Kilakuma muhsan. Both of y'all did good. And we know it, that the recitation of the Quran can vary from one person to another person, and the people who know the tajweed of the Quran, and the different recitations of the Quran, as you know, some of them, Hafs, An Asim, and Warsh, Dawsi, and what have you, that there are slight differences, and it doesn't change the meaning of the Quran. It's like slight pronunciations in it. And even when the Quran was revealed to the Messenger of Allah, Allah revealed this Quran in the clear Arabic language that took into consideration those differences of pronunciation, like it comes in some of the ayat, and many of the ayat that has the scene with the ta coming after it. In the Quran, most of the time you have the option to pronounce it with a scene, or you can pronounce it with a sad. Or on something more closer to all of us, might be the case of اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Even the word sirat can be sirat and zirat. And there are pronunciations of this word sirat. And you find that in many of the ayat, and the meaning doesn't change. Sometimes the pronunciation or a word is replaced with a synonym. And this was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and till today it's preserved, walhamdulillah. This part of the Quran, you don't see it in English because you don't see it as you see it in Arabic and the different recitations, and you find them in the book of tafsir of the Quran, where they explain what are permissible of the different word changes or pronunciation changes. And the only ones that are acceptable are those that have narrations back to the Messenger of Allah. Some of them aren't correct, but the only ones that are acceptable are those who have the narration back to the Messenger of Allah, like this example that we have that took place right in front of the Messenger of Allah, where he taught one person how to read it like this and the other person with a slight difference, and that both of them were the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So we have to make sure that we don't, you know, snatch somebody's beard off, drag them to the imam, where ya dalil, how you gonna say that? And to take it easy and perfectionist for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Him to guide us to that which is most correct. The next issue is the issue of being sick, and this is going to be just like the case of traveling. And then we'll mention, as the Shaykh mentions, he says that this type of sickness that you can break your fast on, it's the type of sickness that would that would get worse with fasting. The type of sickness that would get worse with fasting, or that you would fear more harm to the person with that sickness if he fasted. This is the type of sickness that a person must have in order to break his fast. And then he said, Wallahu A'lam. And Allah knows best. And this is a sign to show that, and Allah knows best, that some people say, no, it doesn't have to be like that. Allah says sick. And Allah says, بَلَ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. And a person knows about himself better than anyone else. How are you going to tell me I'm sick or not? How a doctor going to tell me that sickness, if you fast with it, you really going to jam yourself up? Oh, what you know, doc? You don't know how I feel? I'm fasting with the sickness that's supposed to be, if I fast with it, I'd be in worse condition than before. And sometimes you come out, you're in better condition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It'll go back to the person. And whoever wants to take this verdict can, walhamdulillah. And the other people who see it otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The issue of the menstruating women and the women who have postnatal bleeding, or the afterbirth bleeding. It's not permissible for them to fast, and it's compulsory on them to break their fast and to make up the days that they missed because of this. And this issue, there's no difference of an opinion amongst the ulama about this, and we'll get into this issue inshallah a little more detail when we cover some of the other verdicts shortly inshallah that pertain to this. But for now, there's no difference of an opinion amongst any of the ulama. Everybody agrees that the ones who are menstruating or the ones who are have the post-birth natal bleeding, those women, it's compulsory on them to break their fast, and it's compulsory on them to make up those days that they missed during that time. And this is ease from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Also for the old person, the old man and the old lady, meaning that they're so old that it's no more fasting, they can't handle it, it's too difficult for them. And they don't see any future. For example, if the man is 89 and his health is bad, alright, maybe he doesn't hope that there'll come a day where he's going to be strong enough to fast. The people in that condition, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, preserve us, those Muslims in that condition, then what they do is they feed a poor person for every day that they don't fast. And we see this in the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, collected by Imam al-Bukhari. الشيخ الكبير والمرأة الكبيرة لا يستطيعان أن يصوما فيطعمان مكان كل يوم مسكينا. Where Abdullah ibn Abbas and the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the old man and the old lady who do not have the ability to fast, then they feed a poor person for every day that they don't fast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also, we see in the other narration of Imam Ad-Dar al-Qutni, and this is authentic, inshallah, and rarely do we quote from this book, Ad-Dar al-Qutni. This scholar, Ad-Dar al-Qutni, he has a book called As-Sunan Ad-Dar al-Qutni, and it's four volumes and two books. And this is the first sheikh after Imam al-Bukhari, Allah knows best, to double-check Imam al-Bukhari. Meaning to go through it and to say, yeah, I agree, everything he said is sahih. Or to say, now on this one and that one, I don't know, he might have fallen a little shorter than he thought the authenticity was of a particular hadith. And this only shows, alhamdulillah, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent men generation after generation with the knowledge and the know-how to preserve the explanation of the Quran, meaning the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So this is Imam Ad-Dar al-Qutni rahimahullah, and his virtues are like too many to mention, and his name doesn't come up like Al-Bukhari comes up. But in Arabic, and especially when you deal with the sciences of hadith, then Dar al-Qutni comes up so much that everybody knows him, rahimahullah ta'ala. At any rate, this narration on Ibn Abbas, he read the ayah, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ يَقُولُ هُوَ الشَّيْخُ الْكَبِيرُ الَّذِي لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ الصِّيَامَ فَيُفْطِرُ وَيُطْعِمُ عَنْ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِسْكِينَ نِصْفَ صَاعٍ مِنْ حِمْطَى. And this narration that's authentic, inshallah, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he read the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, and those who don't have the ability to fast, then they feed a poor person. He said, what is meant by this is the old person who doesn't have the ability to fast, and he must break his fast because he can't fast, he feeds every day a poor person a half of a sa' of what's that, wheat or barley or something like that. And a sa' is like this much. Two handfuls together, like that. Allah knows best. This is a half a sa'. And a sa' is two of these. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So here we see that, as we have mentioned before, that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, from the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and even the ulama that come afterwards, when they make their verdicts, sometimes it might seem like an opinion to us, because we don't know necessarily what ayah that they're mentioning with it. Like when we quoted the first statement from Imam al-Bukhari, it wasn't connected to the ayah. So it may have seemed like just an opinion of him. But here we see in this next narration that is based on the ayah. And this is the norm from the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the scholars of Islam, that usually when they speak based on evidences, and perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not saying this to say that every single thing that they say has to agree with the ayah or hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. But in general, this is their norm. As opposed to us, the ordinary people, our norm is to speak from our own desires with no ayat, because we haven't memorized the ayah. And I mention this oftentimes, especially in the prison system, where the brothers begin their questions by saying, considering our special circumstances. And I remember telling the brother, you okay? You know, you saying like everybody has the same type of particular sickness or something that you had. He said, no, I mean, you know, we locked up, and you know, this circumstances. So I told him, you locked up with circumstances? Do you know the prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of Khalilullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you know who he was?
And then when the brothers say Yusuf, Yusuf ibn Yaqub ibn Ismail, nobody can remember? Yeah. Yusuf ibn Yaqub ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim Khalilullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was getting confused. Ismail is the brother of Ishaq, not Yaqub. Alright, this is the prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of Khalilullah, the close friend of Allah, Ibrahim ibn Azar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, where he spent 7 years? More than 7 years. Where he spent it? In jail. Alright, it ain't like jail is something new and your circumstances are so particular that you need verdicts just for the brothers locked up. Ya akhi, you read the Quran and you mention the Prophet of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was locked up, alayhi salatu wassalam, and it's nothing new. But we say that our circumstances are particular, looking for our own. Really what it does is just open up the door for us to follow our own desires instead of follow Islam. But this is just an example of how our statements are usually in opposition to the Quran, as opposed to the ulama of Islam whose statements are in accordance to the Quran. And for that Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ when you don't know. أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ are the people of revelation. And Allah called them that because they are the people with knowledge of the revelation. Ask them when you don't know, because more than likely their answer is going to be in accordance to revelation. Not that every answer they give is revelation, but more than likely, as opposed to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next issue of being easy is the issue of the pregnant lady and the breastfeeding lady. And that that they have the permission to break their fast because of pregnancy and because of the breastfeeding, if they fear any harm to themselves, yarhamukallah, or the fetus or the newborn baby. And we see this in the narration of Anas ibn Malik, collected by Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Abu Dawood, and it's authentic, where he said, غارت علينا خير رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فوجدته يتغدى فقال أدنو فكل فقلت إني صائم فقال أدنو أحدثك عن الصوم أو الصيام إن الله تبارك وتعالى وضع عن المسافر شطر الصلاة وعن الحامل والمرضع الصوم أو الصيام والله لقد قالهما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كليهما أو أحدهما فيا لهف نفسي ألا أكون طعمت طعام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, he said, and the Shaykh, he wants to make this clear before we continue. This Anas ibn Malik is not the Anas ibn Malik al-Ansari, the servant of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that we know spent 10 years with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But this is another Anas ibn Malik, and he only narrates one hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. That's this one. So he's different than the other one, so that we're not confused. He made this statement, غارت علينا خير رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and I don't know the meaning of it. And I didn't, I didn't, just I didn't have the time. I was just a little tired or lazy. I seek Allah's protection from being lazy. That I didn't look to the explanation of the hadith to find out what this meant. I just tried to take a quick shortcut, look in the dictionary, the Arabic dictionary, and it didn't seem to bring the context of this, that, you know, of this word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But I just want to take this time to mention that usually from my translations that I refer to the explanations of the scholars for the ayat or for the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I don't rely on like a trans, a hands-where definition of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And I'm not saying this to the brothers that they can't begin to learn some Arabic by benefiting from the hands where, as myself and all of us benefit from the hands where, it's, and Allah knows best, the finest Arabic English dictionary out that we benefited from it. But they're Jews. I think they're Jews or whoever, they're kuffar, and they don't know the meanings. of many of the Arabic words in the context of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So you use that to start to learn some Arabic, but then when it comes to the Quran and the Sunnah, then you go back to the sources of the Muslims in order to learn the meanings of it. So we have to be careful, and I just want to make it clear that I don't look from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, salam, oh man, what's that word I forgot? Pick up hands where, and look at, yeah, the Prophet said, and bring a hands where translation to the people, because we could lead the people astray like this, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. And the people who are more knowledgeable of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah والسلام, are Ahlul Hadith. The people of hadith who live with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah والسلام, like Imam al-Bukhari. He memorized all the hadith, spent all of his life, after of course memorizing the Quran and understanding the Quran, spent his life and learning the hadith and living with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah والسلام, they explain. And I think I mentioned to some of the brothers that have a 5-volume collection called An-Nihaya fil Gharib al-Hadith by Ibn Athir. And Ibn Athir is a scholar of hadith, and what he said when he studied hadith, he said that there was a lot of difficult words in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So what I decided to do was for myself and for the believers to make a dictionary out of all of those difficult words that I had in learning the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Double check it with the scholars of Islam and then publish it for the people to benefit from it. And he died, I forgot his death, I think it's around 600 something Hijra, like 800 years ago or whatever. And usually most of us will use this to benefit with the explanation of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We hope that the brother who translated the book, inshallah, he got the meaning of the hadith. At any rate, the statement, غارت علينا خيل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, something took place. So we came to the Messenger of Allah والسلام, and we found that he was eating. So he said, come a little closer and eat too. So I said, I was fasting. So he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, come a little closer so I can narrate to you something about fasting. And in Arabic it says, الصوم أو الصيام. And in English both of them is fasting and fasting. Indeed, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has removed from the traveler half of his salah. And from the pregnant lady and the breastfeeding lady, fasting. And this is the end of the statement of the Messenger of Allah. And this is the point that we wanted to mention. That Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that He removed from, just as He removed from the people making salah while they're traveling, from 4 rak'ahs to 2, the same thing for the pregnant lady and the breastfeeding lady, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed from them fasting. Meaning, they don't have to fast, just as you don't have to make 4 rak'ahs for dhuhr when you're traveling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then Anas ibn Malik, this Anas ibn Malik from the Bani Abdullah ibn Ka'b, he said, I swear by Allah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said both of these statements or one of these statements, and oh what a pity or something like that, oh what a shame, I wish I would have ate the food of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So we see from this hadith, inshallah, that the pregnant lady and the breastfeeding lady do not have to fast because of the fear for themselves or the fetus or the newborn child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. When should you make your iftar? We had really dealt with this issue before. When do you break your fast in the end of the day? And we said at sunset. And here we're going to get into some of the issues of breaking your fast. And we can start with the hadith collected by Abdul Razak in his Musannaf. And for the people who don't know Abdul Razak, he's the Shaykh of Bukhari and Muslim. I think he's the Shaykh of both of them. And, or for sure the Shaykh of Muslim. He narrates the hadith of Amr ibn Maymun al-Awdi. Qala kana ashabu Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asra' an-nasi iftaran wa abta'ahum suhura. He said, and this is from the Tabi'een rahimullah, the companion of the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the fastest people to break their fast. And they were the slowest people to eat the suhoor. And this was the point that we were mentioning before, and this is what we really want to emphasize here, or the Shaykh wants to emphasize here about this issue of breaking your fast, that you hurry to break it. And he said what the companions did, because the khayrun nas qarni, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the finest of humanity is my generation. So you find many of the tabi'een saying, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do this. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do this. And they used to use this as proof in Islam. Why? They were the first people to practice Islam. And this is what they used to do when they practiced Islam. Like the issue that comes up from Al-Hasan al-Basri, where he mentioned the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when they entered a masjid and found that the jama'ah had already made salat, they would make salat individually, meaning not to form the second jama'ah. So here we see in this statement, he's showing what the companions of the Prophet ﷺ did. And Al-Hasan al-Basri, he met, as the people described, 80-some companions or more of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And to show what they did is to show what Islam is. And it's funny that the people say, what are the people doing? They got a problem with making a second jama'ah? No, we don't have a problem with it. Do you have a problem practicing Islam the way it was practiced by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? They live with the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and they practice Islam, and they're the first people to practice Islam. Do you have a problem practicing your Islam the way they practice their Islam? So really the people shouldn't question us, but they should question the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Alright, that's on one hand. Then the Shaykh, he wants to explain, or he really wants to emphasize this issue of hurrying to break your fast. As he shows that breaking your fast early is good in general. From the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجلوا الفطر, that the people would be okay so long as they break their fast early, from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He wants to show that this is from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, collected by Ibn Hibban, and it's authentic, where he said, لا تزال أمتي على سنتي ما لم تنتظر بفطرها النجوم. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith, and it's authentic inshallah, he says, my ummah will remain on my sunnah so long as they don't wait for the stars to be in the sky before they break their fast. And this only shows that you break your fast at the sunset and it's still a little light outside, as the stars are not yet clear in the sky. So this is to be on the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, is to break your fast early. And the Shaykh is really emphasizing this to show that people don't think you like Superman or something, you strong. Nah, I ain't breaking my... Akhi, break your fast. Nah, I can handle this thing. Man, I'm going to go a little longer. You know, like he's going to get more reward. And in general, the people think, and it's like that, in general, the more, the bigger the reward. The more money you give, fi sabilillah, the more reward you get. But it's not always the more, the better. It's not always the more, the better. And we can make a real easy example for us. Don't make dhuha 5 rak'ahs is going to be better than 4. Or to make dhuha 6 rak'ahs better than 4. More isn't always better, but following Islam the way it's been given to us is better. He says that this also to break your fast early is to be different than the Jews and the Christians. And we see this in the hadith of Abu Dawood and Hibban, it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يزال الدين ظاهرا ما عجل الناس الفطر لأن اليهود والنصارى يؤخرون. The Prophet ﷺ says, this deen will be apparent or victorious so long as the people hurry to break their fast. Because the Jews and the Christians, they wait a while. So here the Messenger of Allah ﷺ shows us that this deen is going to be apparent and victorious so long as the Muslims break their fast. And this is just in general. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The more the Muslims hang on to this deen, the more this deen is going to be apparent to the people and victorious. And the more that people don't practice Islam, the more that Islam won't be known. We hope that we do a talk one day, inshallah. We didn't mention this from the conference, that in the suburbs now in America, the Muslims are in numbers that you can never imagine. As one of the brothers, when we were in Detroit or Dearborn or somewhere around that, there, we went past a school, a big public school, that has 1,000 students in this public school. 950 of them are Muslim, and no Islam in the school whatsoever. No Islam. 950 of the 1,000 are Muslim, and there's no Islam in the school. And wallahi, unfortunately, we went to restaurants owned by the Muslims. No Islam in the restaurant except halal meat, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. But I'm just saying this to say that the Muslims, it doesn't make a difference, the numbers. The issue is practice of this deen. When this deen is practiced, then the victory is going to be for the Muslims and it's going to be known to the people. And when the Muslims don't practice it, you can be how many numbers you want, this deen won't be apparent. As we sat in the Muslim restaurant and Muslims were coming in one after the other, and wallahi, we could almost say, wallahi, none of them was Muslim. It's almost like you can say, wallahi, you ain't no Muslim. Even after they give you the salams, you could just say, listen, sister, you got a baseball cap on, jeans, t-shirt, talking about salamu alaykum. And then if you say something, astaghfirullah, and I hope no one's offended, then they'll start speaking Arabic as if we're better Muslims than you anyway, because we're Arab. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمِ. This issue isn't numbers, this issue is holding on to this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also we see in this hadith that it's always good for us to mention that the Prophet ﷺ is the first one who taught us this attitude of being different from the Jews and the Christians. Some of the Muslims, they got a problem with Muslims having a problem with the Jews and the Christians. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is the first one who was trying to oppose the Jews and the Christians. And this is why we try to oppose the Jews and the Christians. And this is why we try to be different than the Jews and the Christians, and not to imitate them and be like them. As the Messenger of Allah, he's just showing us, you're going to be okay so long as you're not like them. And there's too many hadith of the Messenger of Allah that shows us we're going to be okay so long as we're not like them. And I hope one day, inshallah, that we can really deal with this issue and give it its right, as I read a nice book on this issue of being different from the disbelievers in general and the Jews and Christians in specific. And it makes the book that was translated called Imitation of the Kuffar, it makes it look like a one-page introduction when you get to this topic and so many ayat and so many hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the ways of opposing and being different than the Jews and the Christians. So much so that I used to fear for myself after reading that book, and maybe this is why we haven't presented it, that the Shaykh even blames those non-Arabs who learn Arabic who don't always speak Arabic. And astaghfirullah, even me and some of the brothers that we know Arabic, we don't speak Arabic amongst ourselves because everybody likes his mother tongue. Like you say, you can kick it and your language, instead of speaking the language of the Quran and the language of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But just to show that, they say that, alright, make all of your word choices the Muslim word choices. Don't be walking around with the slang and the stuff of the kuffar, but take the Muslim language as much as you could, the Arabic language, and incorporate it as much as you could. And this is why, alhamdulillah, the people on the Hajj, they can see, tonight it looks like we've been drifting a lot. Insha'Allah, Masha'Allah, Allahu Akbar, Salaamu Alaikum Warahmatullah, Kayfa Haluka. Alright, these basic words, Subhanallah. Alright, anyone, we might be talking in English, oh, you see that? Subhanallah. Alright, somebody who only knows Arabic, all he caught was the subhanallah. And you hear the other people during the Hajj time, if you remember, subhanallah. And everybody's language, even though you don't understand it, you see the Islam or the Arabic in everybody's language. And this is how the people try their best, and Allah knows best, to be different from the Jews and the Christians and the disbelievers in general. And this is like covering a couple of the points that the Shaykh was mentioning that stemmed from this issue of opposing the Jews and the Christians in this way is in fasting. And then there's other ways, like we mentioned the language and the dress and the... You can go on and on. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. This breaking of the fast is before Salatul Maghrib. Alright, Salatul Maghrib, you don't have much time to finish Salatul Maghrib, and the Prophet ﷺ used to break his fast before the Salat, as we see in one of the narrations of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفطر قبل أن يصلي. That the Prophet, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to break his fast before he used to make the Salat. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to break his fast before he used to make the Salat عليه الصلاة والسلام. And this only shows that you hasten to break the fast, as the adhan is called, and then the iqam is called shortly after that, and you're going to break your fast in that time. What do you use to break your fast with? أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يفطر على رطبات قبل أن يصلي فإن لم يكن رطبات فتمرات فإن لم يكن تمرات حسى حسوات من ماء. And this is authentically collected by Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmad and Husayn bin al-Tirmidhi. It's authentic. Where Anas radiallahu anhu, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to break his fast on fresh dates. And if he didn't have them, then dry dates. And if he didn't have it, then he would take some handfuls of water. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we hope that at our masjid, inshallah, this is what we'll be offering the believers to break their fast, that which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had, of fresh dates. And since we're in New Jersey in the wintertime, we don't have fresh dates growing on the trees, and we're not able to get the fresh dates, then we'll use that next thing, which is dry dates, inshallah, to break our fast. Now some of the brothers, you know, we look at it as dates and water. And let's look at the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that it's fresh dates, if you don't have it, dates, dry dates, if you don't have it, then water. Right, it's not just dates and water, as the people say. What is it, dates and water? And I'm not trying to just nitpick, but this deen is going to be victorious, and we're going to be better off when we hold on to this deen. And for that, we want to make sure that even on the smallest things, that we stick as closest as we could to this deen of Al-Islam. Okay, if somebody broke his fast on other than that, nobody's saying that it's haram if you had a banana or a piece of bread or whatever. Nobody's saying that this is haram. But that we're going to be more victorious, and this deen is going to be more apparent and stronger when the Muslims practice it the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions practiced it. And in light of this, we had come up with to make the popular phrase of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, da'wa sunnah tamdi wa la ta'ridu laha bil-ra'yi, let the sunnah go forth and don't oppose it with your own opinions. Or as we had just made it short, let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. And I remember when myself and the brothers from Boston, we were discussing Islam, and we were looking at the spread of Islam in America in light of all of the deviant groups and the breaking off that the Muslims have. And we said that from now on, we're not arguing with nobody. Why you do that? Because it's the sunnah. You don't have to do that. Let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. And we said from now on, anybody who points the finger at us, oh, they up there doing this, oh, you don't have to do that, oh, the brother said you should do this, and all of that, we don't have no response except let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. We ain't say nothing about you. We ain't say nothing about you. Brother say, why are you wearing a thobe? I thought you was an African-American. That ain't the dress of an African-American. What you doing with that on? It's the sunnah. Let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. I ain't got to wear that. Let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. We know it doesn't make a difference what the people are doing. We're not pointing the finger at why are you doing this, why are you doing that, why are you doing that. And we see, and most of the brothers who attend the classes here at our masjid, we see that most of our classes is just teaching us. This is what the sunnah, this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said. As much as we can do it, we should handle this. As much as we can do it, we should do it, do that. What about the people not doing it? What about them? The issue is that we're going to, inshallah, practice the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam as best as we could. And we hope that this is the position or the opinion of many of us, that you don't have to get in arguments with the people all the time. Why are y'all up there doing this? Or why are you over there doing that? Or I don't have to grow my beard, or whatever somebody said. He don't have to grow his beard. Alright. Is it okay that I grow mine? Alhamdulillah. I ain't gotta grow mine. Alhamdulillah. If somebody wanna argue or debate, I'm just gonna say we're gonna let the sunnah go forth, inshallah, and we're not going to stop it. And this is what we see in this issue that I want to get to. Not that we're nitpicking or trying to say that other people are deviant or whatever. It's saying that we just want to try to stick to this sunnah as best as we could, because this is the way to become strong and victorious by practicing the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And really, we should always be looking at our Islam as individuals and then as a community. That if our Islam as individuals are strong, is strong, then you find the community being strong. Then if the community is strong, then you find the Muslim Ummah being strong from the practicing of this deen. And then we find ourselves weak, then we know that it's the leaving off the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. As many of the ulama, they used to use this story. Allah knows best to its authenticity, but the point is still there. That they said in one of the battles, and I don't know if this was the battle of Kubrus, not Kubrus, what's that country there? It's like Greece, Turkey, start with a C. Cyprus. Alright, that country, I don't know if y'all know the history. The Muslims was back and forth. They win, the Kafirs win. They get the land back. The Muslims win, the Kafirs conquer them. And it was a lot of back and forth between them, and those people were strong fighting against the Muslims. I don't know if this was the battles, or those battles, some of those battles, or Allah knows best whatever battles was mentioned, and Allah knows best of the authenticity. We just want to make the point from the story is that is, they were saying, why we just can't crush them? The Muslims supposed to be on top. As the Prophet ﷺ says, Al-Islam ya'la wa la yu'la. Islam goes on top of everything, and nothing is on top of Islam. Alright, why they keep beating us? It ain't because what their religion is better than ours, but there's something wrong with us. And then they said that the leader of the army said, we stopped using the miswak that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ used to use, paying importance to our teeth. We left off this sunnah, and the people conquered us before it. And then they said that after it, everybody started using the miswak, and the enemy saw the Muslims, said they sharpened their teeth, they gonna eat us. And that was the end of the fighting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But the ulama, they used to just narrate this story to, and I hope that we don't usually make a habit of making the stories, except that it's the stories that we find from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. But that the moral of the story is, when you practice this deen, then you're going to be victorious. And don't think that something is too small to overlook. You know, like we used to say that, brothers, are everybody over worrying about a beard or something? Whole Muslims being killed all over the world, you mad because this foot not together in the rows or something like that. You don't know what one thing that we're not practicing of this deen that is keeping the kafir's foot on our neck. So we have to practice as much as this deen. And even if it's only one person practicing something, we should be encouraging him. Just because we can't do it, you know, like if you see one brother that Allah had given the success to, that brother, he's like, mashallah, Allah gave him the success to really be on the sunnah. Alright, naturally you feel a little deficient around the brother because he's on it, like we need to be on it. But you shouldn't let that, you know, make you arrogant to say, he think he's something, or this or that. But make dua for the brother, encourage the brother, because you don't know that one person amongst us practicing that one sunnah that the rest of the people aren't practicing might be the one thing that gives us the strength over the kuffar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This issue of being victorious isn't like an issue like maybe some people think. You sit down at some peace talk or something, and then, alright, now the Muslims are victorious and the kuffar aren't. But this thing is more than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So it's dates, fresh dates if it's not available, dry dates if it's not available, water. And we hope that this is a reminder, inshallah, so that our masjid, the thing is, will be served is what we have available, the dry dates. And that they don't need to bring the water. After you make the salah, you take the dates. Use his hands. You break your fast. You make the salah. Then you can eat. Everything's permissible for you. You ain't got to like, drink it up right now. Let me get something to eat. You're going to eat, inshallah. You break your fast. You make your dua. You're happy. You make your salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his right. And this is the issue of fasting. This is for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Then after that, knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. Kulu wa shrabu. As Allah says, eat and drink until the black thread, the white thread is distinct from the black thread from Fajr time. So you can eat all the way up until that time. So it's not so important that the Muslims go crazy at the time that they break the fast until the fast is broken. The du'as are made. Also between that van and the iqamah, the du'as are turned down. And then make your salat to Allah. And then after that we can all eat together or visit each other and eat and what have you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What do you say? And we should finish these two chapters, this last 2 points, inshallah. What do you say at the time you break your fast? Firstly, the Shaykh wants to mention the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban. I hope the brothers don't mind. So I just want to skip these hadiths and get right to the point to make it short. And the book is translated, alhamdulillah, and available. What do you say when you break your fast? Uh, It's narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say when he broke his fast from the hadith of Abu Dawood and Al-Bayhaq and Al-Hakam and Sunni and Imam Al-Nasa'i and his Amal Al-Yawm Al-Layla and Al-Dar Al-Qutni, and it's authentic. Ibn Sunni, I think we have mentioned him before. Ibn Sunni is the student of Imam Al-Nasa'i, or has the Sunan of Imam Al-Nasa'i. And he was called Ibn Sunni, and this was a nickname that they gave him because he was on the Sunnah, rahimahullah. And he used to defend and propagate the Sunnah, so they called him Ibn Sunni. Now we have a brother in our community, inshallah, if he's still around, Abu Sunni. Abu Sunni, y'all know? Abu Hakim, Abu Sunni. I think that's his name. At any rate, the hadith goes where the Prophet ﷺ used to say, ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأُ وَبَتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ. That the thirst is gone, the veins are wet, and the reward is obtained, inshaAllah. And this is the dua that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ used to say, ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأُ وَبَتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Feeding the faster. In the hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, collected by Imam Ahmad, Ibn Hibban, Ibn Majah, it's authentic, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَنْ فَطَّرَ صَائِمًا كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلَ أَجْرِهِ غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يُنْقِصُ مِنْ أَجْرِ الصَّائِمِ شَيْئًا. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever breaks the fast of a person, of a faster, meaning you give him what it takes to break his fast, that you get the reward of his fast. And it doesn't increase the reward that he gets for his fast. So if a person is fasting and you give him no hunt break, you know, for my dates, then I get, if I'm fasting too, the reward for fasting, inshallah, then I get the reward for your fast too. And this is the encouragement from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to feed the people, to help them break their fast. And we didn't see it, and I think I mentioned it to some of the brothers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and bless all of you brothers to break your fast and the Prophet's message. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of you brothers and myself again, inshallah, to break the fast and the Prophet's message. And in the Masjid al-Haram, where you can see this hadith in action. And I remember when we first got there, you know, our first Ramadan in the city of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, you walk in the masjid, somebody pull your arm out of socket. dragging you to his table. At first, you know, astaghfirullah, you come from the ghetto, somebody pull your arm out of socket, you start swinging on them. Then you realize that he wants to break your fast for you. He wants to make sure that when you break your fast, he's the one that gave you those fresh dates to break your fast, or those dry dates to break your fast, or that water to break your fast. And you find it from the time of Asr, that when you walk in the masjid, it's just rows of people at the door. They got like, you want to call it runners, for lack of better words. All right, everybody got their table spread, you know, and then he put his runners out to bring the people to feed them. So he might have a table spread ready for like 60 people. So he put his runners at the door, get me 120 people. Taking into consideration the other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the food for one is enough for two. He put him at the door. Anytime somebody walking, you breaking your fast with me. Now here I was invited to the brother. You know we're not supposed to break our fast. Y'all, that's good. Tomorrow. Right now, you with me. And the people are dragging you to their spot, desiring the reward of Allah. So this is the encouragement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam to break the fast. And for this reason, inshallah, as our masjid, we want to provide the dates for the believers in hopes that the masjid will get the reward. And we're in need of this reward, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, can bless us with a bigger building that we hope is around the corner. And it seems like it's around the corner. And as they, the phrase in Arabic, they say, well, لِكُلِّ at, huh? At. That's another one. فَكُلُّ آتٍ قَرِيبٍ. Everything that's coming is soon. Everything that's supposed to be coming is soon. And I was just saying to myself, Wallahi, sometimes we feel as we've been struggling to collect the funds and to do what's necessary to acquire a bigger facility for the believers, that sometimes you feel, when is the help of Allah going to come? As if we need this thing right now. And Wallahi, this was the way that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ had felt, and Allah had revealed even this ayah. Surah Al-Baqarah, forgetting that ayah. Yeah, I think that's the number. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed, and this goes to the end of the ayah, حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعْهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, you know, the things were becoming so rough until the Prophet ﷺ himself and those who were with him who believed, they said, when is the help of Allah coming? And Allah says, indeed the help of Allah is near. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in our endeavors and make us successful. And this is what we wanted to present today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I don't know if there were any questions around today. It got to be a little longer than expected. ذهب الظمأ وبتلت العروق. نعم. وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله. نعم. I don't know if there were any questions around today. نعم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Just a minute, Rashid. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes. You don't say anything. This is a bid'ah to make the intentions or to make the statement of intentions or anything like that. The intentions is in the heart. The intentions is in the heart. Meaning, are you fasting Ramadan? And when it comes? Alright, your intention's already there. You just make sure that when you know tomorrow is Ramadan, that you say tomorrow, you know for sure now the feeling you have, even if you don't see nobody. As soon as you hear the news, tomorrow's Ramadan, that feeling you have, that's your intentions. As soon as you hear the news, all right, we make an announcement. Tomorrow is Ramadan. All right, everybody at the moment they heard that, everybody's intentions is right there. That's your intentions. No, it's not to make the statement, but the statement is after we break the fast, as taught to us by the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, Rashid. Rashid.
Excuse me. In reference to the older Muslim that doesn't fast,
yes,
right, where they will be feeding someone each day they don't fast.
Uh huh.
Where they will be feeding someone each day that they don't fast.
Yes.
Can they use it as an alternative? Like, say, tomorrow, I say, I'm not going to feed someone. I'm going to fast.
Yeah, no, the issue is you can't fast. How are you going to do something you can't do?
That was my question. Zakalakar.
No, listen. Let's make an example closer to everybody's mind. Everybody can dunk and play basketball. Everybody just can't dunk. Okay, dunk. Somebody who can't dunk say, suppose if I could dunk. You just laugh at them. Astaghfirullah, because you can't do what you can't do. And the issue was, the elderly person that can't handle it. Meaning he might just fall out unconscious, just die from the weightiness of the fasting. That person who can handle it, alright, he's going to handle as much as he could. The person who can handle it, is going to handle as much as he could. Like some of the women who are pregnant. I think what's most crucial for the pregnant women is the first 3 months. Alright, after that, many of the women can handle fasting the month of Ramadan, don't find any difficulty in it. I don't know about breastfeeding, it's a little rough because you go a couple hours without something to drink and your milk dries up. Allah knows best if it might come back. But if you have the ability, like you might be half and half, maybe the person might fast every 3 days, for example. Every third day he puts in a day because he can handle that and he hasn't gotten to the age where he can't handle any fast. For those days he fasts, and the days he don't, he feeds a poor person. And I want to mention this as advice, as one of the brothers here in this community, he's doing something this year, and I think that it might be beneficial for some of the people who are chronically ill, or some of the elderly. What he did was at one of the Muslim restaurants, and many of the single brothers who are being amongst the poor, may Allah increase all of us in wealth, that what he did was he went to the restaurant and he paid for days. Like say 3 days, he buys 3 day blocks. Or like paid a restaurant, say give me 10 cards for 30 meals. Each card is worth 3 meals. Then he goes out and he gives it to the poorer brothers in the community. So that means every day he goes to the restaurant, the owner at the restaurant, all right, he checked you off. Man, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and like that he fed the poor. Or as we give advice before, as some of the women do it. All right, the brother's wife isn't fasting. What the brother does is he invites 10 people over, for example. Or as many as he can invite, as we're not limited in this deen of Islam that you only invite certain people. But you know you leave the invitation open. All right, 10 people come. Okay, now that's 10 days for your wife. If you fed 10 people, all right, that's 10 days. So depending on how many days, maybe the sister's menstrual cycle, 3 days, whatever, that she can handle those 3 people in one sitting like that, or can send 1 meal to the masjid every day, or something like that. And even this year, we're hoping to take advantage of what we want to do, the iftar dinner on Friday nights and Saturday nights. We're going to try to use those 2 nights open in hopes to work with the people, inshallah, that on those 2 nights, for those people who have to feed the poor because of not fasting, all right, they can bring their food in then those days. The women bring their food in, the elderly men and women who can't fast, all right, they bring their food into the masjid on Friday night and Saturday night, and then alhamdulillah, they fulfill the responsibility. I thought that this was a good idea from the people who have suggested it, and maybe this would be advice for the listeners, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. Rashida, was that it?
Jazakallah khairan khair.
That's it?
The brother was posing a question, what's the proof about reading from the Quran during Tawari prayer?
I think that we're going to recommend that the brothers get the book, Qiyamul Layl. I don't know what the translation is, by Muhammad Jibali. He compiled it on the night salat. And at that, look at it. But the question is really out of place in light of this ayah. هو الذي أرسل هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. He is the one who sent amongst the illiterate a messenger from amongst them. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام couldn't read or write. So you know the issue of looking in the Quran had nothing to do with the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, as it wasn't even compiled in one book during the time of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. It used to be piled in one head of the different companions who memorized it, but it wasn't even formed into a book that came later from the time of Abu Bakr, and it was really even completed during the time of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, many years after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So really, you know the issue is the issue. And not that there's dalil or what did the Prophet do, because what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did is clear. He didn't read from a book alayhi salatu wasalam. And we're encouraged to memorize the Quran. And this is the issue because we're lazy and we hate the Quran. And really, I know people are going to say those words are too harsh. Wallahi, those words are befitting to us. That we sit around and watch TV and waste our time all day and we don't learn to read the Quran, thinking that it's an Arab thing. Wallahi, the Arabs have to learn how to read the Quran just like the non-Arabs. The Arabs have to learn how to read the Quran just like the non-Arabs. Just because he's Arab, that just means he speaks. Everybody got to learn how to read and write. We might speak English. How many of us know how to read and write English?
So really, this issue is that we just don't want to dedicate enough of our time to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, to read it. And that's why this is the issue. We don't want to spend time memorizing. We don't want to sit down 3 hours a day with the Qur'an. 3 hours, akhi? I got things to do. Yeah, you got things to do. And that's why the issues keep coming up, because we got so much to do instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and preserving the Qur'an. We don't even have any of our children that we can say memorize the whole Qur'an. We still have step in with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a shame that we're at this level. We have to get a little serious about this Qur'an. And we hope that in this month of Ramadan that the believers turn to the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, and get serious about reading it, and get serious about memorizing it, and get serious about practicing it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook our shortcomings. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. You got a question? We hope so, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.